Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I will put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Over 20 years ago, seminary students wrestled with questions about God's activity and God's salvation. Some suggested that God's grace flows from the Word of God, Now, being good Lutherans, they understand that indeed it is encoded in our Constitution for the congregation and for the synod and for the churchwide organization. The Word of God is first and foremost a person. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. He embodies God's grace among all people. In addition, Lutherans understand the Word of God to be proclamation. To be sure, preaching from a pulpit is one form and way of proclamation. However, every faithful follower of Jesus has responsibility to share the good news of God by what they say and by what they do. Being faithful is a full-time job, proclaiming God's salvation. The Word of God is proclamation. Finally, Lutherans understand the Word of God to be revealed in and through Scripture. Note that this church does not worship the Bible. This church does not worship the Scriptures. Rather, this church understands that the Word of God is to be one God, revealed in three persons, Father, Creator, Son, Savior, Spirit, Sanctifier, revealed through the Scriptures. To be sure, in the midst of that, in many ways, masculine references to God have over the millennia imprinted a male image of God on so many of us, so much so that even with references that are counter to that, the vision is still masculine. This vision does not easily acknowledge the many feminine and even genderless references to God. A full understanding of God, though, calls the faithful to acknowledge the many, many ways that God's revelation belies the often binary gender that humanity applies. If God is this big, if God is revealed so powerfully, if God is the ultimate source of grace, these seminary students asked, why baptism? Indeed, why any sacrament? Those questions live on today among faithful people. Matthew tells the story of Jesus coming to John for baptism. Now, baptism in that time was not a sacrament of the church. People did not understand it to be a means of grace, as the Lutheran Church names it. People did not take classes to understand that through baptism, they are adopted by God into the body of Christ. That through baptism, they receive the benefits of forgiveness and of salvation and of eternal life. No, the baptism that John offered focused on repentance or changing direction, changing course. This baptism came from the ritual bath of purification within the Jewish community. Remember John's words to the people who had gathered around, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Today, Jesus comes to John. Apparently, John sees no need for Jesus to undergo baptism for repentance. John's question sounds like a seminary student discussion. Why baptism? Jesus's response focuses on righteousness. Now in scripture, righteousness centers not so much on, well, purity, nor does it focus on being right. Rather, righteousness attends to relationship, right relationship with God and right relationship with neighbor in so many ways. Jesus submits to baptism for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of relationship with neighbor, and perhaps even with God's self. John relents. As Jesus comes out of the water, he sees the Spirit of God alighting on him, right relationship with God's self, revealed in Scripture as Father, Creator, Son, Savior, Spirit, Sanctifier. And Jesus hears a voice from heaven. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Right relationship with God's self. In this moment, the faithful witness of the presence of the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, the Holy Trinity. Of course, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity did not emerge until the 4th century. But here we have a scriptural antecedent that appears in the story. Notice, too, that this voice coming from heaven, according to Matthew, speaks with an expectation of being overheard. We get to eavesdrop on God. In Luke's gospel, the voice speaks you language to Jesus. "You are my Son." But in Matthew, the voice says, "This is my Son." From early on, for the church, baptism has been an entrance rite in which and through which faithful people receive the promise that God claims them as her own. In baptism, the faithful understand the Holy Spirit to effect this work joined to the physical element of water. Why baptism? In Matthew, when Jesus meets with his disciples after the resurrection, his final instruction goes like this: "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." The church exercises baptism as an entrance rite by the command of Jesus, that the faithful may hear the promise that God in three persons claims them as God's own, and that the faithful may know the truth of forgiveness, of salvation, of eternal life. In response to this grace of forgiveness, this grace of salvation, this grace of life, the faithful go forth sharing this good news in proclamation. The faithful seek to serve as good stewards of the blessings freely given. In this time of climate crisis, God calls the faithful to tend the waters, addressing the health of all waterways, lakes, oceans. This day, when the faithful hear of Jesus' baptism at the river for righteousness' sake, is a time to reflect deeply on how the waters of baptism call each one to care for God's creation, to steward well the water that gives life to the whole of this planet. For indeed, every word, every action proclaims a word of faith
for all the world to see and to hear. May this church be a place of proclamation that boldly shares God's grace in forgiveness, in welcome, in relationship, and in life.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.